Love McPherson, welcome once again to WGN. Hi.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, Steve, to be here. And yes, love will keep you together.
Now you can hear the love emanating from her voice right now. So in a world where failing marriages, toxic relationships have become the norm, you, Love McPherson, are a voice of hope. You've said, "I was born for this." That's not exactly how you said it, I think, but close. In 2010, you founded your relationship coaching company, Love Infinity, and you've been a recurring guest on national TV and WGN TV. It says that all over your website. Doesn't say anything about WGN radio, but we'll fix that. Right? And you say your greatest success is being a wife of over 40 years and your two beautiful daughters. So I want to know from you the secret to a marriage that is going to be like glue. Is it always great every single day? What's the secret to keep it going?
Oh, my goodness, that is such a good question. Now, let me tell you something. We got to add in. I said my two beautiful daughters, but I have a grandbaby. So as a Gigi, you know what just happened to me, right?
I don't know. What happened to you?
Oh, my goodness, I fell in love.
I fell in
love all over again. So I am very excited about everything. First of all, being here, and we're going to fix that WGN radio.
Okay, so, but let me. You mentioned the grandbaby, and I want to get back to the secret of a marriage being lasting over. But before we do that, you said yes, you're in love with your grandbaby. But at what point? Because you're also a mother-in-law. Then at what point, and a mom? At what point do you say, okay, I am not interfering, even when you think in your head I would do it very differently?
That is such a good question. Now, let me tell you something. This is so easy for me because my mom, people would come all the time just to sit on her couch, and she was not a therapist or anything. She was Sister Barnes at the church. Uh-huh. And the people would come because her and my dad had been married for 60 years. They would come and ask her about relationships. She would talk, so it was normalized in my home. She would never tell what their business was, but she also never, and there were eight of us, she never interfered in our relationship. She would never give us unsolicited advice. And so it's natural for me to know something, but not to give unsolicited advice. And my daughters, I love my son-in-law. They're my son-in-love. And so I know how to pause. Now, it's more difficult, I will admit, not pausing and jumping in for my grandchild, because he's my only grandchild. He's 7 years old. And so my daughter says this to me. She says, Mom, she says, he would do something and I would start clapping. She said, Mom, stop that. I'm raising somebody's husband and his wife is not going to be clapping at him every time he does something.
Well, that's very, very good. And while that is your personal experience, my question is for all of us listening who are, maybe you're a grandfather, or maybe you're a grandmother, maybe it's about grandnieces or grandnephews. At what point in time do you just think, But at others, maybe you tell me, you're the expert, is it right to speak up and say, hey, that's not the way to do it?
You know, I think what's more important is to build a relationship where they trust you enough, both of them, trust you enough to be not one-sided. They trust your wisdom enough to actually come and talk to you. And so if I have to give unsolicited advice, then it means that at that point, they don't feel comfortable, asking me. And I may see you going down the wrong path. However, as a mother, I need to fall back, Steve. I have to fall back. I have to let you make certain mistakes. I can't swoop in and catch you every time. However, when you come to me, I will be there for you. Now, I am very conscious of trying to make sure that I make decisions. Now, I may start a conversation and kind of put my fingers out there. Say I'm driving a car with my daughter or something like that, and I'll say, hey, so how are things going? Everything, you're feeling good? what goals do you have for 2026? For, you know, we might have that conversation. But my daughters, they really do come to me. My son-in-law, they come to me. They talk to me. So I think that the greatest thing that I've done is to create relationship before. Because at the point of adulthood, your children are no longer dependent on you. It's a real nice situation when, well, not for everybody, but it's a different power dynamic when you control the house, you control the money, you control their survival. But at a certain point, your children will become adults and they get to choose if they are independent. They get to choose if they want a relationship with you. I always lived my life as they were a child. I wanted to make sure that they would want to have a relationship with me, not be there by under duress, by force, by guilt trip. They would want to talk to me because I created safe spaces. And so now I am reaping the benefits of that, and I do have a relationship where they feel that they can confide in me, they can come to me, they can seek it relationship advice, and they actually value my opinion. Now, I'm not going to tell you they did that the whole time they were teenagers growing up, okay? I'm not going to even lie to you about that part, because that did not happen. It was a struggle. However, now that life has hit them and straight in the face and how they are seeing what motherhood really, what I went through, there's been apologies, there's been eye-opening, there's been aha moments and all of that.
Well, what's hitting me straight in the face is the need to break for commercials. But when we come back, I still want to hear the secret of 40 years plus of successful marriage. And this is the time of year where people kind of assess more than any, I'm going to fix this relationship. I'm going to repair this. I want this to work, or I need to find someone to make it work. And how do you do that in general? Or sometimes is it worth it not even working? Are you better off at times saying goodbye?
My name, I was given love by my mom, and I would hear this story all the time. My mother and father are both, you know, deceased. However, when they were living, my mother would occasionally say, James, that was my dad's name, James, let's tell love again the story of how she got her name. And they would tell me that back in the day, my dad was, you know, back there, they didn't come in the hospital room and say push and all that other kind of stuff. They kiss you at the door, and then they will your wife, and you come back out with a baby. And so so when my father came back to the hospital and I was born, he asked her, what did she name the baby? And she named, my mother's name was Mary. She named all of her girls with the M. And it was Miriam, then I'm Mylan, and then Melanie. And then the middle name, I named her Love because of my love for you. She said, you're always there for my difficult pregnancies. She said, and she had eight of them, so she needed that, right? And I was the sixth of eight. And she would have very difficult pregnancies, but my dad was there for her. He was caring. He was loving. And she said, I'm putting the love in there for you. And I would say, tell Daddy, I'm your love child.
Oh, and it turned out you do the appropriate thing for a living for what your name is, because you counsel other people so they can sometimes stay together. Now, divorce, has divorce become too much of an easy out? We often hear that the divorce rate is about 50%. It turns out, because I looked it up, it's not quite that high. It's probably 30% to 45%, depending on your source. Mm-hmm. And what I also found out is 1% of people, 1% have been married five times or more. Without asking about those people, do you think that divorce in general has become too much of an easy out, or is it sometimes absolutely the right thing to do?
You know what? I have found that sometimes it has become absolutely the right thing to do. And as a matter of fact, I am sometimes troubled that it has not been done sooner. And I'll tell you why. Because studies also show that when you live in a house and you are traumatizing children constantly and living under abusive situations, then you are literally wrecking someone. Don't forget about the college fund. Get a therapy fund set aside because your child, what you do is you perpetuate generations who have not mastered the art of healthy relationships. And this whatever you're producing at home, because we learn how to have relationships by how our parents have relationships with each other and how they have relationships with us. And when that happens, Steve, what ends up happening is that they go out of that home with unhealthy and sometimes even abusive relationship skills, or they leave out with the trauma of them. So secondhand trauma or firsthand trauma. I have seen people, you know, a lot of times when we talk about stuff like, you know, divorce, people immediately think, oh, there's conflict, they don't get along or something like that. In my chair, what I see is mothers choosing the man who raped their daughter and bring them back into the house and continue to live there. I've seen homes where they watch their mother their fathers drag their mother by the hair down a staircase. They've seen bloodiness. They've seen fights. They've seen gunshots. And these are successful people who had this in their background and never thought to kind of work through this process. They just kept going with this trauma sitting there in their amygdala. And I'm saying, why are you all sitting here together still? And so those are some of the extreme cases. However, the love that you're talking about is some of the conflicts that can be resolved if both persons would be willing to change. So, yes, divorce is necessary sometimes, but sometimes it's difficult, the high tolerance for abuse, because that person who was in the home that I just described, they have learned by their parents and by the household to be secretive, to keep it inside, to keep on moving in spite of, and therefore they have mastered the relationship skills of high tolerance for abuse, neglect, and sometimes even domestic violence. On the other hand, what we need to do in order to stay together and to come together is, first of all, realize that in order to be in a relationship like mine for 42 years, the hardest part is not to remain in love. I say this all the time. It's to remain in like, to actually like that person after 42 years of marriage. And so the love is a decision that you make. I wake up and for 42 years I've decided. However, because we change, I am not the same 20-some-year-old woman that my husband married. He is not the same 20-some. So we have had to say yes, and I do, how many times, many years, for different lifespans and life cycles and weights that goes up and weight that goes down and body parts that change. So we have had to say yes to all of those things. But in all of those, this is the biggest and the most major part of longitudinal happiness in relationships, is your ability to change and adapt. And I didn't say compromise. I said change and adapt, because it will require change. You take two people from two different worlds who have been trained and literally are in a habit mode, who are in unconsciously operating in a home a certain way, and you have opposite, you know, some things that are opposite. It can be as small as how we load the dishwasher. Somebody says, well, I load it and I wash, you know, like halfway wash all the dishes before I even put it in the dishwasher. The other spouse might just throw the dishes in there and say, it'll all get cleaned. Now, if that one person has been taught to rinse the dishes well and then load it a certain way, the top and the bottom, and the other just throw it in there after you finish eating and it'll all get clean. The parent had to train that person, most likely, that this is the reason why we do this. And if that person ever got it wrong, there was labels around it. Maybe stop being lazy, or that's just irresponsible, or things are not getting clean. So guess what? Even though you may not know it, you begin to label your spouse. Not because they're doing anything wrong. It was acceptable in their house. But because there were labels that were placed on somebody who did not rinse the dishes correctly. So literally, when you are in a relationship and in a marriage, you have to rethink everything you believed about what was truth, everything, how you operated, the systems you created, all of those things. Now, if you're rigid and label and want things your way, or it feels some kind of way to change, you're going to have a problem.
Is the secret in part to compromise, but not take it as a compromise? Just take it as, okay, this is what it's going to be now.
No, I think the secret is to decide what is best for both of us, and let's create a whole new system. Don't walk out and create your parents' system. Don't go out and create your own system that you created as a single. Now let's make it our system. Recreate a brand new system. Take the best of both and make it. And I'm talking about for a lot of stuff. All things become new, and that's what connection is. Otherwise, there will become resentment.
You know, I've talked to many people who have said, I am not going to be the same parent or the same spouse that my mom and or dad mm-hmm. have been. How do you, and we only have a minute here or so left, but how do you escape that cycle?
You have to be self-aware. I have not had anyone, and I'm when I tell you, Steve, not one person who has ever sat in my chair who has not repeated some of the same cycles of their parents. Because we do produce after our own kind. We really, really do. And so what I'm saying to you is become self-aware, and then you have to make decisions that, hey, I'm seeing this in me that I don't. Don't shame myself. Don't label myself what I labeled my mother. First, forgive them for how you labeled them, because you stayed in a relationship that was unfaithful, and you always said your mother should have left. Go back and understand now through a different lens and perspective that maybe my mom stayed because of this, that, the other. And that way, after you change your label or your what you feel about your parent, then you can also give the same grace to yourself.
Yes or no question. Is it more than just love?
Oh, so much more. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, yes, yes. She says,
yes,
Love
yes, yes.
McPherson. What is your website?
LoveMcPherson.com.
Yeah, I know that. It's pretty easy to remember. You are
and don't forget to follow me on social media, Love_McPherson on Instagram, Love McPherson everywhere.
Love McPherson, everywhere we go, there should be love. And Love McPherson, always a joy to talk to you. Thank you.